Well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning out here. Laid down in the boat at the crash site. Thinking. This is if you're my, if you're gonna be thinking. You might as well say it out loud. And, you know, much about Shayna and I feel bad for the other kids. Lisa and I gave so much to Shayna over the years. Oh, I don't know if it was just me, kind of. Doing it, and Lisa capitulating. I think I was always a little bit more forgiving. Well, I don't even know if forgiving more. Tolerant of Shayna's behavior. Probably the least ever was. I probably gave short shrift to my other kids. I don't know. Certainly I'm happy for my other children. Choices they've made. Branch Lane certainly is a daughter after my own heart. Doing so many of the things that I that I sacrificed in marriage. travel to a certain extent experiences. Meeting interesting people. I do want her to have a full the fullest experience she can. Oh, to marry and to have that. Lisa used to ask me quite a bit about whether I was sad that I got married so early. You know, I pretty much got off my mission and Lisa came looking for me and we started our life together. And although I don't know if my wishes were prudent or wise or anything, but and at times I feel like I sacrificed too much. For our marriage, but I say over the years, and that I don't regret. Well, I can't say that either. We're people. But the bed I've made for myself Lisa's made pleasant and comfortable, and she didn't have to do that, and so I love her for those things. For that, I feel like a poor husband. But, well, what does one do with that? Lisa's chosen her place. Not that it's Lisa settled for her circumstances. I've always worried that she just kind of settled for me, too. I think that's probably one of the few things we share in common. We I think we both have eyes that are too big for our stomachs. In some larger way. And that we've both settled. And it's never gonna look pretty, given well, it's just never gonna look pretty. Anyway, so there's that. I love her. And she loves me. I said, choose your love and love your choice. And that's what we're in the midst of doing. Matthew, oh man, he's an interesting guy. You can say, well, he's autistic, but you know, you try to look beyond that. Just circumstantially puts a different spin on everything. Decisions everyone makes. You know, the life choices of Lisa and I. Lisa's been the most hit by it. She always tells me that her desire was to be a wife and a mother. Well, with Matt, she's certainly gotten the mother in spades. Certain amount of mothering that never lets up. And never really goes on to a next stage. Yeah, so many other people. You know, your kids grow up, they go on. And, I know some women look at it as being left alone after all those years of being needed and guiding and helping and providing for your children. You know, and the whole empty nest thing. And Lisa and I, about the time we were starting to experience this, that was when circumstances changed. Matt was living with my mom. And enjoying that, I think, because it was a it was more of a companionship thing there. Matt was a companion to my mom, and I think Matt gave mom a lot of purpose, and that was a great thing. It's a great thing. But then it came to an end. And then it was time to the boys had just barely left for the military, so they're really I don't even recall if there was a time anyway. Need to call Caleb, check up with him, see how he's doing. He's at a strange point in his military life, kind of. Military really wants him. It's interesting to see aspects of yourself in your children. Both the good and not so good. Caleb's he's an open-hearted guy. He's a wonderful guy. Very, very giving. And just sitting here thinking of my own personal kind of quasi-autistic part. And I'm saying, well, what kind of attributes in my kids are Lisa's, come from Lisa, and I would have to ask her, I guess. Yeah. Brenda's my adventure side. I've had few adventures.
Rena's having far more. Mav, of course, got the double portion of the autistic part. And sometimes I wonder, what's he thinking? Or does he? Sometimes I think my problem is I just don't think. I don't know if that's Matt's side of it too. Joshua's. I think Joshua has an independent streak that is also way beyond me. And I really do feel like that comes from other people. And good for him. Good for him. Wants to do his own thing. But he's, there's not a but to it. I'm thankful that he, for the things that he's done. Josh, God, I don't even know if I want to think of it as our best parts. I think he got good parts that. Maybe transcend us. I guess it's always a great parent's desire that somebody will take what they got from you and build on it so much that, they surpass you. It's a little early to say that for Josh, but he certainly is. Pushing forward, he's progressing as he should, and well, I feel like it has so little to do with me that I can just watch and go, wow. This is a kid that came to us. felt like Josh was kind of my most like almost like he was a transplant, you know, from some other family, and he just dropped into ours. And he just stayed with us. And not to say that in a bad way at all. I you know, I'm happy with what he does and with where he's headed. And his what he's done so far. And he's my child that's married and has a child himself. But the, yeah, you know, for all the stuff, you know, Josh has always kind of felt like the kid that really didn't need me, so I don't know where to put that exactly. Anyway, then there's the twins. You can't really treat them together anymore. Always did. I don't know why, just always did. And they were always best friends. Either, maybe just by circumstance. Did a lot of things together. Anyway, so Sam is on his service mission now at home. Well, I can't say at home. Stays at home. He doesn't have anything else when he doesn't have other things going on. And we're just trying to kind of come to grips with that. Well, it's difficult in that it's different. It's so different from Lisa and I's mission experiences. And I think we're trying to figure that one out. Caleb's doing his own thing. And whether, you know, he's going to retrain, stay in the military longer, or if he's just going to just be escorted out from military. I guess he's already got something kind of planned. One of the guys he knows from work is kind of starting up a business, and he's thinking of getting involved in that business. And I get the feeling that he's kind of torn. And I really don't want to influence him one way or the other. I don't want him to feel like I would be disappointed if he took the opportunity to get out of the military. I have I've sometimes just wanted out of a situation. Whether it's a work situation or anything else. But wanted it not to look bad. I don't know if it did or not, it's hard to say. And it might be that way for Caleb too. And, you know, I think it's, I don't know if it's good or bad. You find out about yourself, and sometimes I don't know if it's a good thing. Remember my grandmother, Nemro, my dad's mom, and how happy she was with how long I stayed at New Mexico State. And I guess she had felt like that I had finally found my place, and of course I really, I didn't, you know, I was still looking for something else in my life. And so we went off and we did other things. I don't know if my grandmother and I ever talked particularly again after that. Trying to remember how much longer she lived. I don't know. Anyway, I never got another impression from her. She probably would have been, I don't know. I don't know how she would have felt. Anyway. It seemed like it wasn't too long after we had a chance to talk. I don't remember. It seemed like it was close to Halloween. And I don't remember exactly the circumstances around us talking. I think I might have just called them of an evening. And talked to both my grandparents, which I don't think I had really ever done as an adult. And I mean, I was in my late 40s. And It's interesting. Life's interesting. I don't know if today you would call it Facebook relationships or anyway, I used to call it Ensign families. You would sometimes read in the old Ensign magazine that the church put out for adults. And for a time there, it changed the magazine, how its focus was, it would change with a particular leadership, and a lot of that leadership came from 70s and apostles that were assigned to it. And for a time there, you would talk about the Ensign families, and they would be, big families, lots of kids, and they would look at the family of some general authority, perhaps, one of the 70s. And beautiful families, no chair empty. And we don't hear a lot about that anymore. Probably because it isn't very prevalent, or the focus audience of the Ensign at the time, it just wasn't speaking to them, because a lot of them came from, were newer members. A lot of the Ensign families were old pioneer stock. At least one side of the family was old pioneer stock, if not both. And, anyway, so. And yeah, you'd have these big family reunion pictures with huge family, hundreds, they'd probably have 100 people in the picture. And it wouldn't bring up the family members that weren't present for one reason or another. Always gave you the impression that there wasn't anybody like that. Everybody was there. It was all about everybody's loved, everybody's wonderful. Because of that, we're all, buried in the temple. We've all served full-time missions. And continuing the tradition, quiver full of children type thing. And it was wonderful. And it was a little bit troublesome for me, because my family is interesting, to put a euphemism on it. And it was that way when we were younger and the kids were young. And it has only matured in interestingness. And we live with them, you know? And I think we try to still find happiness and joy, you know, at all. We used to look at those inside families, and you go, well, you know, was there wrong choices made? And one would get the impression that that was exactly what it was. And I think that's a lot why they came back and they said, we can't keep putting up these pictures of beautiful situations as some kind of a model, because people who don't have those kinds of situations, we give them the impression that it's their fault, that they chose badly. Maybe we have, you know. But that's not how you work out your salvation. That's not how you I almost feel like you have to wring happiness out of your circumstances. And I'm sure everybody ends up having to do that. Even the ones that give a beautiful picture. That's why I'm starting to call them like Facebook. Facebook families, they look wonderful on Facebook. You know, because you only take the happy pictures. You only take the whole things about how wonderful a success everybody is. And how everybody is doing fantastic. Compare the best that people publish with what you see in front of you, and you know, people have started. There's been quite interesting conversations or observations. Really, we don't have this. I don't think we have many conversations. I don't know if we ever did, but it seemed like we used to have more conversations. I don't know. Instead of just personal observations of what we see. It was a tough thing. And then Ensign started being about, well, you know what? I stopped reading the Ensign a long time ago. And there's the Liahona. We have a subscription to the Liahona, I think. Interesting that I was always the one saying, I want to get the Liahona version of the Ensign to a large extent. It was the same magazine with just a different masthead on it. And they finally decided to just give up on the Ensign and do the Liahona instead, which was much more internationalized. And I think that that's become, the Ensign, which was much more Utah-centric, honestly. Was dumped for more internationalized. Not the inside started to get more international over time. As the two magazines were sharing content far more. Anyway. Because I think it was seen that other sources, LDS Living, which was run by Deseret Book, was very much more a Utah animal, since it was commercial instead of being kind of an official church thing. It was more, it had ads for Utah-ish things, much more like the improvement era was, and LDS Living is much more that thing. To give you, it was far more of cultural Mormonism. Anyway. Yeah. The Liahona has since continued the thing of trying to show other cultures, trying to exemplify its internationalness of the church. And I think that's a big thing for President Nelson too. He's really wanted to highlight, I mean, during his time here, where he's had more influence over the direction of the church, the newer apostles have been more international. And that's a good thing. A lot of accusations have been made about the Jello Belt centrism of the leadership of the church, and I think those decisions were made somewhat in response to that, to say that this is a more international church and we don't need to be, you know. This is no longer just the church of Utah expatriates. You know. Anyway. But yeah, it was always kind of difficult to, because my family certainly didn't fit the mold. And I think Lisa wanted more of that kind of a thing, and I didn't. Lisa loved her mission, and I think on some level desired to live in Utah. A lot of my family had ultimately migrated to Utah, at least the LDS side. My dad and his family. My grandparents never went to Utah. They had a vacation cabin in Utah. It never really became anything, I think. There actually was a cabin that was built there. Nath built it, predominantly. But I don't think my grandparents really stayed there much. Nath family did. And then, fine, you know, that's great. You know, that's anyway. Nate didn't move to Utah. As far as I know, they're still in California. I really haven't. I haven't seen or heard much of them. And that's not to say that they haven't tried. It's probably just me. I was not paying attention. One of my bigger things. Anyway, but yeah, I, in having my Utah experience, I had already developed feelings that I didn't want. I'm not sure I wanted that for my kids. So, we didn't pursue it. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I probably am overly concerned. It's always my thing. I always overthink things. You know. If I am an outcast, it isn't because other people haven't been decent and nice. It's just that, well, I guess I always felt like I would be an outcast, so I just live the life anyway. And probably have to go to the bathroom here. Let me take a little pause and I was thinking all along, I was out there, if you don't have to take the recording with me. I'm approaching a year at New Mexico Tech, the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology. And that means that I am now eligible to make an internal transfer if I'd so desire. I was looking a little bit yesterday, and there is a ITC, Information Technology and Communications Department at Tech is looking for a manager of networking, and thinking about myself in that kind of role. Of course, it talks about being able to interface well with other people, you know. not only at the university, but other networking organizations outside of the university. Of course, you know, you have to interconnect. That's the whole point. You have to be interconnected in networking. And it does pay, it could pay more than what I'm making now. So on a certain level, that's like, well, you know. And I've got a master's degree in IT network management. It would be a logical next step. However, I really don't think I'm the right person for such a thing. Now I have learned not to talk myself out of stuff. So, most likely, come December, I probably should apply for that job. I depend on other people. Depend upon other people to determine whether they think I would be a good fit, because I don't know. It made me think about a few things. I don't know if I'm going to bring up all of them, because I'll probably forget as I go along. But I've never been a person of individual will and drive. Because what's often come to my, that's what I do. I mean, I've grown somewhat reliant on revelation, for better or worse. That means that I rarely have I rarely have what would be considered extremely well thought out reasons for a choice, for a decision. I just say, I had a hunch, and I followed it, and it seemed good, and I kept following it, and it worked out. And I don't think that inspires much confidence in other people. They, you know, they want you to be independently brilliant. And have this strong plan. Of course, the smartest thing to do is to do what everybody else is doing, which is wise, you know. In my own personal life, I can't say I went with the flow. I went with what occurred to me at the moment, and with some research and with some things that come to mind, you know, really isn't well thought out, 5-year plans and stuff like that. So, I don't think I've done badly. In fact, I think that a lot of my things were forward thinking, getting ready for the future. I always want to make sure that I leave things in a better state than I found them. And I think by and large, I was able to do that. You know, I always get this picture that after I leave someplace, the next guy comes in and goes, "Well, I can't believe Nimrod did it this way," or I just forget it. And that they trash everything I did and did do something completely different, you know, and that's why I try not to think about that stuff too much, because it's like, oh, well, you know, there's a picture on Facebook from the people that bought our house, our big house there in Tucumcari, big place, good. Lisa said it was good for the size family we had. It was huge. It was a huge house. Very large. I almost thought it was a little too big myself. But that's my own personal opinion. It doesn't match with hers. Anyway, the people who've bought it now, they've worked on it a little bit over the years. And, wow, they've really made some big changes on the interior. And, brought up to Lisa. I don't know how she thinks about it. I don't know if it just highlights the discontent. That might be there between from her concerning me and what kind of a husband that she wanted and what she got, which is a guy, you know, I'll try to maintain things to a certain extent when I have time. And she always talks about the big changes she'd like to make. And I know I say, well, that's going to be a lot of work, need a lot of money, you know, if you don't really want to go that route. And I guess I'm not very, well, there's a lot of things that I've done that have made her incredibly unhappy. The shed out in the back. I was supposed to seal it up good against the weather, and I never really got around to that. Once I got the basic structure done and got things pulled together, that was basically it. And everything's dusty and dirty out there. Just by the nature of the place. This place is dusty and dirty. If I would have sealed it up better, it wouldn't have been this dusty and dirty. And I think I think she's basically upset. So anyway, and maybe she kicks herself because she's had all this time to do something about it. She always says, "Well, I just don't understand. I just don't know what to do." And I go, and you know, that breeds a little resentment in me for saying, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what to do either. But I've got to do something. So I do something. you know, and it's easy to get resentful for, you're really big about what you want, but when it comes to actually making it happen, you know, Lisa will not get involved. You know, that's not her thing. And you go, well, this is like right now, this is I'm just flat not there. And it's like, what's the point now? I don't know. But regardless. So now, when there's a project to do, or I'm thinking about doing a project, Lisa's justifiably reticent. She doesn't want me doing it. And I go, well, we still don't have, we don't have the money just to do it, or to pay somebody else to do it, Lisa. That's why we always have to end up doing it, or else it's just not going to happen at all. And I guess it's just a kindness that she just drops the subject. Because she will surely bring up the fact that other things that have been done she's not, you know, she's just not happy with. And she does not want to have something else that really doesn't do the job, that's going to upset her. Doesn't fit her picture. Like I always say, Lisa, you should have married somebody. You know, this is your parents were absolutely right. They said that you needed to marry a doctor or a lawyer because your tastes and your desires required a lot of money. And she's that. Anyway, I really don't want to go there too far. Just one of those things. Too many stories of people who gave up, and I'm not saying I didn't give up a lot of time and effort to make some things happen, and I'm not saying that Lisa wasn't appreciative of it at the time, but even in spite of all those things, I had to refinish an entire floor in our kitchen at the old house in Tucumcari. In the kitchen. And we did it. We did it. Of course, it was done with materials that Lisa didn't really like. You know, it didn't matter how much time I poured into it to try to make it work. Just to get, just something needed to be done. And so it was done. It took forever. And Lisa was unhappy the entire time. You know, with how it looked. It embarrassing, I'm sure. You know. Oh. And other things that we had done over time. So, anyway, and it seems like, I don't know how Lisa and I's interesting relationship has tainted our children. It comes up because Shayna brought it up. She I don't know if she was, if her intent was to have people. Support food banks, or if she was saying what a terrible thing. No, it was. She was saying that food banks and places like that were terrible things, and I think that's why she's kind of socialistic. Oh, she's very socialistic. It's not a kind of thing. She's very socialistic. Because I think she has bought into the it would be a better world for people that she thought she was. I think she had this picture that she was really downtrodden and really suffered as a child. And I disagreed with her and said, I'm sorry that you never had those kinds of experiences. I said, I'll give an example. There was this fella in Portales, who would go to food distributor, like in Lubbock or in Amarillo. If there was something that just wasn't quite exactly right with something with a can of nacho cheese sauce or a big can of green beans, stuff like that. He would go and get this stuff. Sometimes really good, amazing stuff. Stuff that you normally wouldn't consider getting because it costs too much. And used to be the old thing that every once in a while in Tucumcari, trucks would go by Tucumcari and the refrigerated trucks would come through and they would have problems for something. For some reason they would be behind. And because they were behind, the quality level of a load of strawberries would not it couldn't get to its destination and still be good, so the trucker would just say, well, word would get out that there was this big truck of strawberries. And so people would all go and they would all get strawberries, and they were good strawberries. And it was just a wonderful thing because you were getting it for half price, sometimes almost pennies on the dollar. For them just needing to get rid of this stuff and to turn it into some kind of money so it wasn't a complete and utter loss. And apparently, Shayna got it into her head that this is what lower class people do. And the funny thing was, Shayna didn't get it because wasn't very many lower class people doing it. In fact, we would often get a whole bunch of this stuff, sometimes for free, sometimes just for a few dollars, you know, and that we would take it to people that we knew that either couldn't take the opportunity for one reason or another, you know. Take it to somebody who is older, take it to somebody who was poorer, take it, just distribute it around. We weren't going to be able to eat that many strawberries, but we had the resources to go and pick them up, you know. Sometimes they would break down in Logan, which was 30 miles off, and Lisa, because she was a stay-at-home mom, she didn't have such a strict schedule that she couldn't go and just go get the stuff, you know, or other people who had to work couldn't take advantage of it, but then we could take it to them later, stuff like that. And I don't know where Shayna got the idea that this was something, you know, that we were like dumpster diving or something. But apparently she did. So she translated that into, oh, I'm the child of food banks and commodities and stuff like that. And you're going, Shayna, you are no such thing. It said, we went and we did these things because they were opportunities. And let me tell you, this is... you know, and she was saying, we were always trying to look like we were lower middle class when we really weren't, and we're told that there was such a virtue, and just bizarre. And it's like, Shayna, I don't care how rich you get. It says, you're always looking for a good deal. You know? And the logic of saying, just because a can got dinged of food that you would normally get anyway, you can get it a lot cheaper that way, you take the can with a ding. Why not? It's just intelligent. Only haughty, and that's something that I've accused Shayna of over the years, only because she was always criminally haughty. You know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I think that's down there among the great sins that Lisa and I did, and that offended Shayna greatly. And, so there was this video about this obese woman who was saying how terrible, food banks were. Apparently, you know, she was forced, this lady on this video was forced to take food from food banks, and how terrible it made her feel. And so I don't know what she was about. I didn't watch the video, you know, I just saw the picture, and then I saw the caption, which is always dangerous because you know how clickbait is. It's all about saying one thing and not really meaning that at all, just to draw in people to take a look at what you're saying. Anyway, so, and Shayna used that as a little platform to talk about how demeaning commodities and food banks were. how we needed to do, figure out something else. And I don't know what she was going for, except that she was just expressing her haughtiness. You know? Damn well treat me better. And it's like, well, are you in a position to be treated better? Says it's not anybody else's job to provide your lifestyle for you, to provide the lifestyle that you so richly deserve. Anyway, so. That induced a strange conversation between us. It didn't end well. Never does. Because Shane, of course, predominantly blames me for everything wrong in her world. Although she'll say, well, you know, I didn't starve. I wasn't that. But let me tell you, it wasn't very pleasant. I didn't like it. And you're going, you know what? You pompous little snot. And it's sad. It's sad that I still think that way at 31. And that with her at 31. And it's like, you know, we should just shut up about things. Anyway, I'm sure it's, well, then you don't have to pay attention to what I'm saying. And you go, well, it's public, Shayna. It says, sometimes I will stumble on something you've said. Especially when I kind of, you know, when I kind of want to look at what my daughter's doing just to see what's up. And it's like, and I find out that she's pillaring me. I can't say it's behind my back. Because it is public, you know. I don't go and look at her thing all that often. And I'm sure she wishes I would just stay out of it because she just wants to, you know, she just wants to project a view. She wants to, you know, she wants to be a social justice warrior. But And everybody knows that the most powerful social justice warriors are the ones that speak of their great angst. And the suffering that they went through that's unnecessary, that they want to fix. And it's like, you're fighting against life. And if you're going to go to that level, oh my gosh. Like I said, socialism is slavery with no clear master. At least with slavery of the past, you could run away from it. You know, you had some possibility to escape. And there were people who would help you. And there were places you could go where slavery was not tolerated until, you know, they wrote laws that said that you were property. And it was a national law in the United States that even if a slave escaped, that you were to return that slave to their owner. You know, that was kind of the old, if you see something, say something thing. Now you can't get your modern progressive to see that connection very readily, because they love, if you see something, say something. You know, you need to turn people into the government so we can properly punish evil doing. And you're going, you know, but back in the old days, helping slaves escape their masters was considered evil. And, you know, anyway. See, well, it's not like that at all. And you go, oh, yeah? This is you're turning in people who just want to, who want to do things in a different way, or, you know, and you're becoming a snitch. You know, it says, what is the difference? A snitch is a snitch is a snitch. You know, most of them want to be compensated for having snitched. But I think there was something in, you know, the reward for returning this slave. There is a reward for whistleblowing. Oop, it's starting to rain. I need to close up things. It's gonna get a little dark. Down the hatches. There we go. Now I can read all at once. It's not a perfect seal at all. Never designed to be. It was just designed to keep out the worst stuff. Oh, shit, what time it is? Oh my gosh, it's 2:21. Been doing this for 2 hours. And some. Anyway. Well, Shane was always wanting attention, and she was always going the lengths to get it. Not surprising. And she still does it, if only to. Feel like she's being heard. And of course I should know by now. And I guess I intellectually know. I don't know if I emotionally or if I emotionally know this or whatever. Sometimes we still do things and we know we should just stay out of it. You know? Shane is still my daughter, even though she swears her name is Seamus now. Well, her name is Seamus now. That's, I guess that's true. And, she swears that she's a man and tries to live that way. Although I must say that, how can a person who is not a man figure that they're a man? I occasionally listen to Blair White, who is a transgendered man that transgendered to a woman. And I think she has a much more, she, he, whatever, has a much more nuanced take on this. Gotten to the point, and if there is some respectability to being transgendered, Blair has found a way to do it. In that, if other people, you know, say, well, that's a man. It's not going to be a big deal. It's not going to break her, his heart. His, her heart. You know? That's what they do. This is, you know. Anyway. You know, there's plenty of people that don't agree with the whole thing. And it's like, okay. And that's okay in Blair's world. Shayna's militant. And I'm sorry, militant with the wrong people. I don't know how Blair's parents feel about this. It doesn't seem to be a subject to be broached completely, really. I don't know. I don't know if they even talk. I don't know. I hope they do. But I hope Blair also is, if they're still looking at you as a man and calling you by your birth name and use pronouns with your birth gender, you know, I hope that at least decent enough to say, well, of course my parents are going to do that. That's who they know. You know, I didn't know Blair White until Blair White had already transitioned to the point to where, unless they told you that they were transgendered, you wouldn't know it. Does a good job of being a woman, of giving every appearance of being a woman. Yeah, so that's how I have to do it. You know, I wish Shayna could get to the point to where, you know, that she could walk for a minute in our shoes and see how we feel about it and say, okay, I'm not gonna give them crap. I'm not gonna slap them in the face. That's a very nasty thing to do to your parents. And I'm sorry, says I, you know, I think she tries to justify it by the say, well, I was abused as a child. And you're going, honestly, I said, that is worthy of debate, whether you were abused as a child. So now there's, you know, our society made a decision quite a while back that if a child comes and says that they were abused, that's simply it. There's just no countering that, you know. It's all about how that child feels. It's like, well, whatever, you know. They go, you can now tell why a lot of people will just never have children. And as usual, Shane is taking all the stuff out of the air. And you kind of want it not to be like that. But everybody has their ways of getting what they want. I really wish you'd just leave me be. I think it's hilarious. You're not my father anymore. And yet she constantly harkens back to her childhood. And you're going, you know what? If you don't want me to be my child anymore, don't bring it up. I don't want to hear it. If your life started when you decide to transition to being a different person, I would just as soon never hear again about your horribly jaded past when you were misgendered. I'd rather not hear it. It would help me to, you know, when people say, oh, it's so terrible when your child dies, and you go, okay, I can see that. I go, but you know what? It's pretty terrible when your child decides to be somebody totally different, to totally other than your child, and keep smearing it in your face. And you're just going, said, you know what? Dead people don't do a darn thing to me. I can look at pictures before they died and go, oh, weren't they cute, or weren't they wonderful? I guess. See, I don't know. I haven't had my children die. And I don't want to. Sure, is there pain? Sure. Pain for what could have been if they could have grown up and become, or that they were taken too soon. Sure. Pain, boy, listen, here comes that wind. And a little bit of rain. Just enough that I can't open the hatch to get the wind. Golly. What do you do? Oh. Anyway. But, all I can say is, yeah, there's also pain to having a living child pillory you, having a living child stomp on their whole childhood experience and basically say some pretty nasty things about you. That's not fun. And you say, well, you just ignore that. And you go, well, try it. Give it a try. And they go, well, I wouldn't know how that felt. And you go, well, isn't that just pretty for you? That's great. It says, happy day. Have the blessed life you so richly deserve. And I will continue to have the life that I have that apparently I deserve as well. And, you know, it's okay. I'm sure I will never be the subject of a Liahona article. To have the feelings and urges of a parent. I don't even want to say good parent, just a parent. In trying to connect with your children, especially one that you've invested so much in, and worked so hard with. She is my oldest child. And tried to do well by her, you know, when they're young, you know, and that's, even though she gives that excuse, well, my parents were young and stupid and really didn't know what they were doing, and you're going, you know what, that doesn't make me feel any better, because then you just come back and talk about all the horrible things that happened and her horrible take on them. And mix that in with the modern exhibitionism that's so much a part of the world now. And I get to be the bad guy on a reality TV show. And, it's not fun. So anyway, I'm grateful for my children who are kind to me. From the way it's portrayed by people like Shayna, I need to be very grateful that my children don't just, you know, run me through with a dagger and then dance on my grave in joy over my death or over my getting out of their lives. I'm heartened by my other children who are going on in good ways, who, at least if they feel vindictive, they're not spewing it at me or at the world. I'm grateful for that. Wonderful. Thank you, you guys. I, you know, if it wasn't for somebody like Shayna, I guess I might not understand how grateful I should be. So, and how grateful, I wouldn't be as grateful as I am. So that's wonderful. Thank you to all of my children that still talk to me, who don't completely avoid me. Thank you. And now that it's windy and a little rainy and stuff like that, it's probably a perfect time to try to get some more sleep, if I can, before I gotta get up and get back to work. It's Wednesday morning. Lisa's already said that we don't have anything on the schedule this weekend, so we're gonna We're going to make sure that nothing gets in the way of spending time together. You know, besides just the normal stuff that just has to be done. But that's okay. You know, usually it's the stuff has to be done plus something else. Somebody needing us to go to Amarillo to take care of something. You know, this, that, the other thing. I understand that. I understand that. Oh, sensible. Or, you know, whatever. Have me go off, take care of somebody, something else for somebody else. It's great. Enjoy going and going as Sam went and got his endowment. Oh, heck of a thing. Things that should just be ours, like an anniversary, kind of gets a little sacrificed in providing opportunities for Sam to go to the temple and stuff like that. And that's life. That's life. And you know. Maybe I should talk to him. He said what he wanted to do. Do not want Sam to be around. This is the time for Sam to be independent. Alright. But good things are going on. I need to call Caleb and see how he's doing. Brenda Jelaine. I think, is she off? Is she off doing something right now? I'm trying to think, she might be. Ugh. I wish I could remember better. Lisa knows. I could ask her. But she's off having some adventure, and that's great. I'm excited for her. Josh, of course, is in Hawaii working and doing the job and enjoying his family. That's a wonderful thing, too. And, you know, shouldn't feel too bad if Shane is talking to me. Hopefully we'll find some way to interact with each other that just doesn't make each other angry or sad. Although, well, it's an uphill climb on that one. But you know what? Do you still make the climb? You do. You do. Okay, the wind's kicking up, a little bit of rain. It's a good time to try to go to sleep, right? Well, we'll put this one in the can. Who knows when anybody will ever listen to any of this? I guess the angels record it. I hope that isn't to my eternal scorn and punishment. We shall see. Anyway, I love the Lord. He's always taken such good care of me. So we throw ourselves out there and we just see. And we'll try to understand what's going on to help make things help make things work. I'm grateful for that. sparkling. Bye.